The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us this week. We've got a very special message for you this week from actually last month. I taught at Faith and Victory Church, and I've got a message here that I want to share with you from Faith and Victory Church. We have at Faith and Victory a special service once a month. And at that service, we teach on healing, and we pray for the sick. We lay hands on claws, and those claws go out, and they're laid on folks, and folks get healed. And there's just tremendous testimonies that have come out of that. But Pastor was out of town one Sunday evening service, and he called me and asked me if I would teach during this healing and communion service. And so this is a video of that service, and we want to go right into it right now.
All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. That's the first of many places we'll be going tonight. Get your finger ready. We're going to be flipping through a lot of different pages. What we're going to be talking about tonight, as you know, is as this is healing and communion service, being the first Sunday of the month, that is a standard practice, if you will, here at Faith and Victory Church, and tonight is no exception. We're talking about healing, but the topic or the title that the Lord gave me is unique, I think, or unusual, and that is God's healing power is normal for believers. God's healing power is normal for believers. You see, we've been, now I was raised Southern Baptist. You know, most of you know that. My mom and dad, they were orphaned at a very young age, and they went to the Mills Home Baptist Orphanage at about the age of 8 or 9 years old, and they were raised there. And so their whole young life was spent in a Baptist orphanage. Then they left the orphanage, got married, and went to start a business. Dad was a shoe repairman. He was going to start a business of his own in Moxville. And he got a building. He rented a building. He opened his barbershop, shoe shop. The very first day, I was thinking of barbershop because we had a friend of ours that ran one of those in town, and I was picturing it kind of the same way. But he had a shoe shop that he opened. He had it all outfitted. And Dr. Greer, who was the head of Mills Home at the time, came to Moxville to see him and said, "Frank, we want you to come to the orphanage and be shoe repairman there." And he prayed about it and thought, "Well, praise the Lord. That sounds like what I need to do." So he closed up his shop that day, only opened one day, and he went down to Mills Home and was there until he retired. Praise the Lord. So many, many, many years of service there at the Baptist Orphanage. Well, as you can imagine, they were raised Baptist. They raised me Baptist. We were on a Baptist orphanage. We went to that Baptist church on that Baptist orphanage Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, my entire life. And we had Vacation Bible School, and we went to Fort Caswell. And I mean, man, you can't get any more Southern Baptist, all right, than I was. So for me growing up, when you talk about healing, well, first of all, we didn't talk about healing. All right, that was not a topic that came up in our studies. We talked about getting born again. That was good. We talked about that God loved us. That was good. We talked about tithing. That was certainly good. A lot of good topics, but healing just never came up. Now, it wasn't that they actively taught against it where I was going to church. Now, there were a lot of Baptist churches that sadly do, but they didn't do that at our church because we were clueless. We didn't know. You know, we didn't even know to ask the question. And I had somebody ask me one time, you know, "What do you think, what do Baptists teach about speaking in tongues?" And I said, "Nothing." Literally, it never came up. We didn't know it was in the Bible. It wasn't until years down the road when I went to a full, actually, It's an interesting little story about how that happened. I went to visit a friend at NC State University, and a friend of his from his hometown had come to Raleigh. Of course, you know, we were there at Matt's apartment, my friend's apartment there in Raleigh, and there's a knock on the door, and his buddy from high school is at the door and says, "Hey, you guys want to come to a meeting tonight?" And Matt said, "What kind of meeting?" He said, "A full gospel businessmen's meeting." Well, he could have said a zumba, 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 zumba meeting. It didn't mean anything to us, you know. Matt's background is Quaker. Mine's Southern Baptist, you know. So, full gospel businessmen. And we kind of looked at him like, who's speaking? And he said, "George Otis is speaking." And I said, that name sounds kind of familiar. He said, "Well, talk to him. He's a famous scientist at NASA. He worked on the Apollo program." And of course, now Matt and I, we're science guys, you know. So we went, "Dude, okay, now you're talking." So we went to see George Otis. And needless to say, full gospel businessmen's meeting, he jumped right into Acts chapter 2 and started talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I took my Bible and went, "When did they put all these scriptures in there? Where is this coming from?" I mean, literally, we as Baptists, we set goals, you know, to read through the Bible every year. And I did. I read through the Bible. And I had Bible drills, you know, where they tell you where a scripture was, you know, give you a reference. And I'd flip through and find it. And I always was the champion, you know, growing up. And I didn't ever hear any of those scriptures. It was amazing to me. So he just kept going on through all these scriptures that I'd never heard. And at the end of the meeting, he said, "Now, if you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just stand up," because the place was so crowded, nobody could, you know, get down to the front. It was just wall-to-wall people. The young people had gotten up and had gotten down in the floor, were sitting in the floor to let all the older people come in. Well, of course, I was one of the young people, so I'm down in the floor. And he said, "Just stand up, lift your hands, and ask the Lord to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And I went, "Lift my hands? Why would I lift my hands? I mean, I'm Southern Baptist, folks." And so I kind of went, you know, half-masked, kind of barely got him up. And I prayed, and I'm telling you what, it was like a thunderclap out of heaven. Something hit my forehead and went shooting through my body. And I mean, I felt the power of God go through me. And I started staggering. If I'd have known enough, I'd have fallen under the power. But I was tight as a board because I didn't want to fall. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And then he says, "Now just open your mouth and begin to speak as the Spirit gives you utterance." And I start opening my mouth and I'm speaking these words. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." This is the thought that I had. What have I gotten involved in? What kind of weird cult have I gotten involved in? What am I going to do? I mean, literally, you have all these thoughts because I just didn't know. But the one thing that was ingrained in me as a Baptist, I'm telling you, they said this probably as much as, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. They said this just like it was Bible. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That was our credo as Baptists. You know, that's just the way we grew up. And so I saw that God said it in his word. George Otis was giving us the word. And what was I going to do but believe it? And so that had to settle it. So I just prayed, spoke in tongues, left the meeting and kind of went, "Now what do I do?" You know? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I went back to my church there in Denton, North Carolina, First Baptist Church in Denton, North Carolina, where my pastor, Herbert Baker, was pastor. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. Blessed man of God, wonderful gentleman. But praise the Lord, he let me preach on Sunday nights, kind of like tonight. You know, he let me preach a lot. And typically, I would preach on end times, you know, the rapture and so forth. And so he said, "Would you like to teach? Anytime you want to, just let me know." I said, "Okay." So I came home for that meeting. I said, "Pastor, I'd like to teach Sunday night." He said, "Well, that'd be great, Brother Phil." Little did he know So I got up, I said, turn to Acts chapter 2. And I went through all the scriptures. I had written down the scriptures that George Otis used. And I actually kind of cheated. I got with the guy that invited us to the meeting, and he had a mimeograph sheet of paper. Now, you got to remember, this is 1973. He had a mimeograph sheet of paper that had the scriptures on it about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, full gospel business men, of course they're going to have that. And so this was November the 10th, 1973, in Raleigh, North Carolina, okay, that this happened. So right after that, I came back and I taught at the church and I went through those scriptures and everybody just sat out there like, what? And the pastor's on the back row going, I mean, he just turned white as a sheet. And so I said, well, if you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like I did in Raleigh, he said, take him in the back, take him in the back. Okay, let's all go in the back room. So we went back in the little Sunday school classroom in the back. And I think it was like four or five people, including three ladies in the church, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Now, needless to say, the next Sunday, Pastor got up and taught how it was all of the devil. And I was crushed because I didn't know. I didn't know that Baptists didn't believe that. You know, I wasn't trying to be mean or rabble-rouser or anything. It was just, to me, this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, I saw it in the Bible. It meant a tremendous amount of my life. It was affecting me in a powerful way. I mean, the Word of God says that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, you'll receive power. You know, well, man, I received power. I was different from that point on. And so I want to tell people about it. So I told them. They received. He got up and talked about how only it was, you know, speaking in tongues was gibberish and it was only for the feeble-minded. And I mean, here I was high school student getting ready to go to college in 73, and I'm like, feeble-minded? I thought he thought a lot of me, you know? I mean, it was a crushing thing for me. So needless to say, long story to say, that I had never heard healing teaching. And so if you had come to me and said healing power is normal for believers, at that time I'd have said, are you crazy? Healing power is normal? I mean, first of all, I'm not even sure as a Baptist to understand that there is healing power, you know? I mean, I'm not entirely convinced as a Baptist it's not of the devil. Well, that's just where they came from, and that's where I came from. That was my background and upbringing. But as we well know now, see, I'm assuming, again, we're all family here. I know that we know better. We've heard the Word of God taught over these years. Pastor has taught us the Word, woo, strong. And we know the healing is not only for today and for us, it is for the world. Amen? And we're to go out and tell the world of the healing power of God. And we know that God has identified Himself. The very first covenant name that He identified Himself with is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. That was the very first covenant name that He chose to reveal to us as mankind, was the fact that He's the healer. He went on to reveal a lot of other aspects of Himself through other covenant names like Jehovah Shalom for peace and on and on and on. But Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. So, Jesus healed the sick. Well, Dr. Bill, that's no big revelation. Of course we know that. I mean, even a good Baptist knows that. But should we be going around healing the sick? Well, yeah, it's normal. It's not strange, it's normal. Now, you say, but, and I can hear them right now in that Baptist church. But, that was Jesus. Yeah, it was Jesus. And yeah, He did heal the sick. Matter of fact, I said go to Matthew 21, hold your place. You know how that goes. Let's go to, let's see. Wow, we got so many different scriptures here. I'm not going to get to all of them, so I'm going to have to pick and choose a bit. The scripture where it says that He went about the villages teaching preaching and healing. That's what I'm looking for. It's here in my notes. If you find it back there. There you go. Matthew 4:23. Yep, there it is. Matthew 4:23. It's easier to find when you do it electronically instead of off the piece of paper here. Jesus went about all Galilee. Now look what he did. Teaching in their synagogues. That's in churches, what we call today churches. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner. How many manners? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now that'll make it clear he's not talking about just one kind, just the approved kind, or it's just spiritual healing, some kind of weird non-physical kind of healing, because he said all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Well, if it's sickness and disease, it's not just some floaty, fluffy spirit thing. You know what I'm saying? This is real stuff. But I know a lot of them will say, well, yeah, but that was Jesus. Hold on. Notice what he did. Jesus went about all Galilee doing what? Teaching, preaching, and healing. If you want to condense Jesus' whole earthly ministry into three things, it's preaching, teaching, and healing. Now notice, the healing is the spectacular part. That's the part he's known for. Jesus the miracle worker. Jesus the one who laid hands on the sick and they recovered. But the preaching and the teaching came before the healing. The preaching and the teaching was his answer to doubt and unbelief. In the book of Mark, when he went to his own company, his own city, where he grew up as a child, as Joseph's son, meaning Joseph was his earthly father, his stepfather, if you will, God being his real, actual father, and Mary, his mother. As he grew up there in the Galilean area, he was known as a carpenter. And they had a familiarity with him. It's hard to say. And let me give you a little side journey here. This will help you, particularly those of you that either work closely in a ministry or are ministering. This will help you. Familiarity, why it's so hard for me to say that, can cause problems from people receiving from the ministry gift. In other words, putting it simply, if you get so familiar with Pastor, I'll use him as an example, you get so familiar with him to where he's no longer Pastor Taylor, Pastor Ed, but becomes Ed, your buddy, that you go run around with and you know, maybe, I don't know, watch a movie or just generally run around, you know, like friendship-wise. If you become too familiar, then when he gets up in the pulpit and preaches the word, you look at him differently. That's why ministers, it's not that they're trying to be separate from you because they don't want to be around you. I know Pastor Ed, he wants to be around people. He's a people person. But he has to keep some distance there, some amount of separation, so that you can properly receive from him as a ministry gift. I've seen it. I saw it in my own ministry. Another quick side journey here. When I was in Salisbury, North Carolina, and at pastoring, the way all that happened, I was on the radio. And I had a guy from Salisbury come to me and said, please come and teach a Bible study for us. We don't have anybody teach the word. We listen to you every day on the radio program. And I said, okay, I will. So I came on Thursday nights, and they had a Bible study, and we sat around and taught the word. And I just talked. Well, they were right on the edge of their seat. They were listening to the Word of God, and they were just, woo, wow, this is great stuff. So finally, they ended up coming to me and said, will you start a church? And we'd like to actually be in your church. So I went, well, I'll have to pray about that one. So I prayed, you know, and I didn't get any lightning or anything, you know, from heaven. It was like, well, it seemeth good to me, I guess. You know, I mean, I didn't, the Lord didn't really say anything. He's kind of silent on it. And so I said, well, they want to do this, I guess I'll just go on the verse that says, here am I, Lord, you know, send me, I'll go, you know. So I said, all right, we'll do that, and we started a little church there. and had a nice little church. But the more we worked together and the closer, see, I didn't know this principle about being too familiar. And the closer I worked with them individually as a friend, they got to see that I was just an old country boy. And I drank Diet Coke, you know, and I wasn't anything special, you know, in their eyes. And that's true. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just a person. But I'm also a ministry gift anointed by the Holy Ghost. And that's what they should have kept. They should have kept that perspective. You can be good old Brother Bill over here, but then once you step in over here to this office, now you're the pastor. And you need to be received from, not as that familiar person, but as that ministry gift. And you ought to honor that ministry gift. And so that started falling apart. Well, it wasn't too long. The devil got right in the middle of that mess, and he had somebody come in that broke up a church, and it was just a big mess. And it's one of those things that years later I thought, man, if I'd have known, if I just knew then what I know now, you know how it is, Monday morning quarterbacking. You just know you could have done something different and done better. Well, I tell you one thing, people got healed, people got saved, people got filled with the Holy Ghost, and people got taught the Word of God. So, I mean, I don't regret it, but I do regret the issues that occurred and all of those things, and it could have been handled better. But the point is familiarity. It will hurt a ministry. It will, and that's what happened with Jesus. He went back to his hometown, and they said, oh, we know who he is. He's nothing special. I tell you what, why don't you do all the miracles we hear about here like you do out there? You know, in other words, prove it. That's what they wanted. Because as far as they were concerned, he's just Joseph's son, the carpenter. You know, and they kind of ran him down because they were familiar. And so what did Jesus do? He laid his hands upon a few sickly folk. Okay? In other words, no major miracles. He laid his hand on a few, and the Greek there says sickly folk. In other words, folks with minor ailments. But it says specifically, he could there do, Mark 6:5, no mighty work, save or except that he laid his hands on a few sickly folk and healed them. What was his answer to that problem? That was a problem. That was a legitimate problem. His answer is in the next verse. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about around about the villages healing? No. Teaching. Remember? Preaching, teaching, healing. So he went about the villages teaching. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. As you hear teaching, it gives you the faith to believe for what is being taught. Whether that's salvation, whether it's baptism of the Holy Ghost, whether that is healing and miracles. So realize that all healing comes from the word. Now the reason I bring this scripture out and wanted to talk about it and kind of mention it, wasn't in my notes per se, but the reason I wanted to mention it is this. Jesus could there do. Jesus himself could there do no mighty work. Now, if Jesus went around about healing because he was Jesus, then what happened here? Was he not Jesus that day? No, of course he was. He was Jesus that day. He didn't become Fred or Joe or whatever, somebody else. He's still Jesus. He's still the Son of God. He's still part of the Trinity. But what do we know about Jesus? Here's the part a lot of people forget that don't understand what's going on here. Jesus had laid aside all of his authority, all of his power as the Son of God when he came to the earth, and he laid all that aside and ministered as an anointed minister of the Word of God. Basically ministered as an Old Testament prophet. Now we know that's true because of the Word of God, where it says that he laid it aside. He laid all that aside. Now, had he not chosen to lay that aside, we could have looked at what he was doing when he went around about healing, And we could have said, well, of course he did that. He's God manifested in the flesh. He's got power and authority and rights that we don't have. And so we can't expect to do what he did. In other words, it wouldn't be normal for us as believers to be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, which is the premise of what we're teaching, right? We're teaching that healing power is normal for believers. So we've got to get it out of our mind that it was just Jesus being Jesus when he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. No, he was ministering as an Old Testament prophet anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we know? I mean, we know that the Word of God says he laid aside his power and his authority. But how do we know it was him being anointed by the Holy Ghost? Is how he went about healing. Because Acts chapter 10, verse 38, which says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the who? The devil. The devil's the oppressor, God's the healer. We know that. But see, it's good to rehearse these things. It's good to remind ourselves.
We couldn't finish the message, today on the broadcast, because we only have 30 minutes here on the Word of Faith netcast. And so I encourage you to watch the next program when it comes out to conclude this message. Now, also, you can get the audio of this message if you want to share it with others, you want to listen to it over and over and over again. I'm telling you, there's a lot in this message. There's a lot of scripture. There's a lot of good things that we cover. So I encourage you to go out and check out the audio of this message. And it is available on our website. Our website is wofm.org. WOFM.org. You go to the website, you look on the menu bar at the top, and one of those options on the menu bar are messages by Dr. Bill. You click on that and you can go to those audio messages and you can check out that most recent message, which is that God's healing power is normal for believers. You check that out. You can download it. You can play it online. I encourage you to go there and get a hold of that audio message and share it with folks. Share that link. Copy it onto a thumb drive, whatever you want to do, and give it to folks. We would love for you to share that message with others. You can also write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213 High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And of course, as always, you can write me here at my email address. The email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wofm.org. Catch us on Word of Faith Radio, www.wofr.org. And we have just a lot of things that we share with you through our Word of Faith broadcast, which comes on Monday through Friday at 11:30, right after Kenneth Copeland's program, Eastern Time. That's Eastern Time. And then, of course, the Word of Faith netcast. The audio of this video netcast is heard every Sunday morning at 9:30 on Word of Faith Radio. So check that out as well. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.